Good afternoon from Cedar Grove Beach in the New Dorp Beach section of Staten Island. On the update this Saturday, Governor Cuomo has signed into law a sweeping package of police accountability measures that received new backing, of course, following the protests of George Floyd's killing. They include the release of officers' long-withheld disciplinary records, banning police chokeholds, making it easier to sue people who call police on others without good reason, and set up a special prosecutor's office to investigate the deaths of people during and following their encounters with police officers. We'll have the latest details. In coronavirus news, the pandemic has shut down the housing courts and prompted most states and federal authorities to initiate policies protecting renters from eviction. But not everyone is covered, and a number of landlords, some desperate to pay their mortgages themselves, are turning to threats and harassment to force tenants out. Major League Baseball has told its players that the league wants to know by the end of the day tomorrow whether players will accept their latest offer. They're offering players 80% of their protracted salaries and a 72-game schedule beginning July 14th in an effort to start the pandemic-delayed season. And Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is refusing to disclose what businesses received coronavirus aid, insisting on secrecy for a $600 billion plus loan program that's been funded by taxpayers. But ethics advocates and some lawmakers see the move as an attempt to dodge accountability for how the money is spent. This is the update. It's Saturday, June the 13th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Saturday to you, Brandon Julian. You're the host of the Update podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Cedar Grove Beach in the New Dorp Beach section of Staten Island. Beach scene here is, we're all, sort of the same like all the beaches have been in the early days of the very late spring turning to early summer at this time next weekend. People on the beach enjoying the water. Still no swimming, although the mayor has said that the beaches could possibly open later on down the line this summer, as well as the city pools. We have a lot of news to get to this Saturday after a couple of days off, of course, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin, however, this Saturday with the governor's daily briefing. Governor Cuomo, he's just signed into law a sweeping package of police accountability measures that receives, of course, new backing following the protests of George Floyd's killing. The laws signed yesterday include one allowing the release of officers' long-withheld disciplinary records. They will also ban police chokeholds, make it easier to sue people who call police on others without good reason, and also set up a special prosecutor's office to investigate the deaths of people and following encounters with police officers. NYPD spokesperson Sergeant Jessica McRory said the department would review the law allowing the release of disciplinary records and use it to ensure transparency and fairness. In the state capitol in Albany, there's a statue that's being removed from the capital city of slave-owning Revolutionary War General Philip Schuyler. It could end up on display in a town bearing his name. Schuylerville's mayor is lobbying to take possession of the 9.5-foot bronze statue after Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan signed an executive order back on Thursday to remove it. Schuyler, who led the Continental Army to victory at the pivotal Battle of Saratoga, is the latest historic figure to face new scrutiny amid the protests over racism and policing, and wider society, in the wake of George Floyd's killing by police. Turning to coronavirus developments, scientists are beginning a new study to tell if the blood plasma of COVID-19 survivors might help prevent infection in the first place. Doctors are already using survivor plasma as a treatment for many hospitalized patients, even as research is still underway to tell if it really works. The plasma harbors virus-fighting antibodies. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University are testing if giving that immune system boost to people newly exposed, but not yet sick, like health workers or nursing home residents, could help starve off illness. And going back to George Floyd for a moment, as the calls for police reform across the U.S. grow, instructors and researchers say officers lack sufficient training on how and when to use force. That leaves them unprepared to handle tense situations. Better training, though, can't fix all the issues facing the nation's police departments, but experts believe that it would have a big impact. An instructor at Washington State's Police Academy says that officers are, quote, woefully undertrained, and despite the training they do get, their, quote, skills start to degrade immediately. The amount of training varies by state and the requirements for continued learning once officers are on the job can also be minimal. There is other news of this Saturday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Saturday. Turning back to coronavirus developments down in Baltimore. The pandemic, of course, has shut down the housing courts, and they've prompted most states and federal authorities to initiate policies protecting renters from eviction. But not everyone is covered, and a number of landlords, some desperate to pay their mortgages themselves, are turning to threats and harassment to force tenants out. The evictions threaten to exacerbate a problem that has plagued people of color long before the pandemic, when landlords across the U.S. were filing about 300,000 eviction requests every month. Some tenants are now banding together to push for legislation at the state and federal level to provide rent and mortgage relief. In other news, the NYPD says that a 19-year-old woman was killed and three other people were wounded by gunfire at a Bronx park last night. The shooting happened around 11 o'clock at Shoelace Park. A 15-year-old boy was also wounded in the buttocks, a 16-year-old boy shot in the ankle, and a 24-year-old man was shot in the groin. They're all hospitalized in stable condition. Airbnb in New York City are going to settle their fight over a law requiring short-term rental platforms to share information about their listings. Under the agreement that was announced yesterday, the San Francisco-based Airbnb will dismiss its federal lawsuit against the city and the New York City Council. The council will amend its 2018 law that would have required home-sharing platforms to provide detailed data on all their listings. Under the amended law, home-sharing companies will still be required to provide information, including addresses and names of hosts, but the law will exempt some listings. The data will have to be provided on a quarterly basis. There are four ambulance workers here in the city who gave media interviews about their work on the front lines of the pandemic. And they also sued the city back on Thursday, saying that they were punished for speaking out. One EMT says that he was suspended without pay. Three others were barred from caring for patients. The city did confirm the punishments. A spokesperson for the city's law department said that the FDNY respects employees' First Amendment rights, but that those rights must be balanced to respect patient privacy rights. Some of the media reports showed glimpses of patients receiving care. Across the river in Newark, New Jersey, a federal judge there has formally brought an end to the criminal case stemming from the 2013 George Washington Bridge lane closing scandal, known, of course, as Bridgegate. An order entered yesterday dismissed the indictments against Bill Baroni and Bridget Kelly, whose 2016 convictions were reversed by the U.S. Supreme Court last month. The judge also vacated the conviction of David Wildstein, who worked for Baroni at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Wildstein had pleaded guilty and testified against Baroni and Kelly. The three are still defendants in a lawsuit that have been brought by residents and the businesses in Fort Lee, where lane realignments at the bridge caused massive gridlock in his scheme to punish its mayor for not endorsing then-Governor Chris Christie. And finally, legal experts here in the U.S. say that, Legal experts say that U.S. investigators probably can force Britain's Prince Andrew to cooperate in the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking probe. Prosecutors here in New York have wanted to speak with Andrew for several months because of his friendship with Epstein and allegations by one woman that the financier arranged for him to have sex with a 17-year-old girl. Andrew has denied that allegation, but his lawyers insist that he is willing to speak with investigators confidentially. U.S. defense lawyers say it would be a mistake if Andrew's lawyers allowed him to do such an interview. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Saturday from Cedar Grove Beach in the new Dorp Beach section of Staten Island, we'll hope you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and tell you how MLB has told its players they want to know by end of day tomorrow whether the players will accept their latest offer. We'll tell you what the terms of the new deal are. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how the president highlighted the diversity of West Point's graduating class and appealed for America's newest officers to defend the country's core principles. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never saw moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for traffic and weather together.
As you know, there is no scheduled service on weekends on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. As a reminder, the subway is for essential workers only. When you ride, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth. Do not touch the mask before you wash your hands. Also, the subways close every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and cleaning of trains and stations. Get alternative info at mta.info/over.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Saturday. The timing favored the NFL over the other major pro sports leagues in trying to figure out how to keep the pandemic from wrecking the 2020 season. America's most popular sport has another big advantage if the games are played: TV money. While NFL owners could lose billions collectively with limited capacities in stadiums or no fans at all, the league is well positioned financially because of lucrative media contracts approaching $10 billion in a full 2020 season. Fitch Ratings recently affirmed its A-plus credit mark for the NFL and its properties in part because of the league's media deals. Fitch says the NFL estimates each team's media revenue at $250 million per season. The number gets bigger later in the contract, and each deal is set to expire in the next 2 years. So it's safe to say that more than half of the league's $15 billion in annual revenue comes from the TV deals shared equally among all 32 teams, unlike Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL. MLB's attempts to get the baseball season started are being held up in part by a disagreement over how to compensate players and the likelihood that owners will have no fan-related revenue. And speaking of Major League Baseball, MLB has told their players the league wants to know by end of day tomorrow whether the whether players will accept their latest offer. MLB has offered players 80% of their protracted salaries in a 72-game schedule beginning July 14th in an effort to start the pandemic-delayed season, according to details of the proposal that were obtained by the Associated Press. Teams will cut their proposed schedule each time they make an offer due to the calendar unwilling to delay the World Series past October. When we return on the update this Saturday from Cedar Grove Beach in the New Dorp Beach section of Staten Island, we'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how election officials and activists in four Georgia counties say that faulty software or poorly calibrated, vote tabulation scanners used in the state's primary may have prevented thousands of mailed-in votes from being counted. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Joy and OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com. Notice lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
From New York City, it's after 10 a.m. Do you know who your boyfriend is? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Cedar Grove Beach in the New Dorp Beach section of Staten Island, continuing the long-running Staten Island series. We took a couple of days off, you know, because the whole political climate out there, it's very easy to get caught up and get caught up in it. And the whole thing about the whole protest of George Floyd has not been a very easy subject to talk about, especially in my own house. This is just my personal stance on it. I find that all the gatherings and stuff while we're still in the time of COVID is rather offensive, not just for the people that you might get sick in those crowds, but also because of the healthcare workers, some of whom died, by the way, to get to the point where we are now, where we're starting to reopen. But then again, that's just my perspective on the matter. Let's shift gears and talk about what happened on this day in history for this June the 13th. The highlight of this day came in 1967 when President Lyndon B. Johnson nominated Solicitor General Thurgood Marshall to become the first black justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. In 1842, Queen Victoria became the first British monarch to ride on a train, traveling from Slough as in cow, railway station to Paddington in 25 minutes. In 1911, the ballet Prestruka, I did not get that right, with music by Igor Stravinsky and choreography by Michael Forkin, was first performed in Paris by the ballet's Russes, with Vaclav Nijinsky in the title role. Didn't get that right either. In 1927, aviation hero Charles Lindbergh was honored with a ticker tape parade in New York City. In 1935, James Braddock claimed the title of world heavyweight boxing champion for Max Baer in a 15-round fight in Queens, New York. Also, Becky Sharp, the first movie photographed in three-strip Technicolor, opened in New York. In 1942, a four-man Nazi sabotage team arrived on Long Island, New York, 3 days before a second four-man team landed in Florida. All eight men were arrested after two members of the first group defected. Also, President Franklin D. Roosevelt created the Office of Strategic Services and the Office of War Information. In 1966, the Supreme Court ruled in Miranda v. Arizona that criminal suspects had to be informed of their constitutional right to consult with an attorney and to remain silent. In 1977, James Earl Ray, the convicted assassin of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr., was recaptured following his escape 3 days earlier from a Tennessee prison. In 1983, the U.S. space probe Pioneer 10, launched in 1972, became the first spacecraft to leave the solar system as it crossed the orbit of Neptune. In 1986, Benny Goodman, the clarinet-playing king of swing, died in New York at the age of 77. In 1992, Democratic presidential candidate Bill Clinton stirred controversy during an appearance before the Rainbow Coalition by criticizing rap singer Sista Solja for making remarks that he said were, quote, filled with hatred toward whites. In 1997, a jury voted unanimously to give Timothy McVeigh the death penalty for his role in the Oklahoma City bombing. Also, the Chicago Bulls captured their fifth professional basketball championship in 7 years with a 90-86 victory over the Utah Jazz in Game 6. And in 2005, a jury in Santa Maria, California, acquitted Michael Jackson of molesting a 13-year-old cancer survivor at his Neverland Ranch. Also, the Supreme Court warned prosecutors to use care in striking minorities from juries, siding with black murder defendants in Texas and California who contended that their juries had been unfairly stacked with whites. When we return on the update this Saturday from Cedar Grove Beach in the New Dorp Beach section of Staten Island, we will address the latest national news, including how the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, he's refusing to disclose what businesses received aid, insisting on secrecy for a $600 billion plus loan program funded by taxpayers. We'll tell you why this might be an issue when the update with Brian and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Cedar Grove Beach in the New Dorp Beach section of Staten Island. Let's address the latest national news this Saturday, and we'll begin over in West Point. Well, President Trump highlighted the diversity of the graduating class and appealed for America's newest officers to defend the country's core principles. His commencement speech to the U.S. Military Academy emphasized unity at a time when the commander-in-chief's relationship with military leaders has become strained and questions have arisen about the role of soldiers in a civil society. Trump said in today's speech that the new graduates, quote, have come from the farms and the cities, from states big and small, and from every race, religion, color, and creed. But when you entered these grounds, you became part of one team, one family, proudly serving one American nation. Shifting gears to Decision 2020, election officials and activists in four Georgia counties now say that faulty software or poorly calibrated vote tabulation scanners used in the state's primary may have prevented thousands of mail-in votes from being counted. The activists say the fact that the problem occurred in multiple counties suggests that it is systemic. They're calling for statewide audits. A top Georgia voting official, Gabriel Sterling, says that he has not yet seen evidence of the issue and blamed, quote, activists who have an axe to grind for raising it. Voters on Tuesday waited up to 5 hours to cast ballots at some polling places due to problems with equipment and poll worker unfamiliarity with a new voting system. In Washington, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, he's refusing to disclose what businesses received coronavirus aid, insisting on secrecy for a $600 billion-plus loan program that's been funded by taxpayers. Mnuchin claims the information is confidential, but ethics advocates and some lawmakers are seeing the move as an attempt to dodge accountability for how the money is spent. Mnuchin told Congress at a hearing this week that the names of loan recipients and the amounts are, quote, propriety information. The need for a full public accounting of the Paycheck Protection Program, which is managed by the Small Business Administration, is amplified by controversy over how it has unfolded since early April. And finally, overseas in London, a pharma giant AstraZeneca has struck a deal with Europe's Inclusive Vaccines Alliance to supply up to 400 million doses of an experimental COVID-19 vaccine as efforts to boost manufacturing capacity continue at pace. The alliance forged by Germany, France, Italy, and the Netherlands to speed up production of a vaccine is set to take delivery by the end of 2020 of a vaccine being tested at the University of Oxford. The agreement struck today aims to make the vaccine available to other European countries that wish to take part. the cost is expected to be offset by the funding from the governments. Our thought for today is from Mahatma Gandhi. Of course, born in 1869 and died in 1948. Our thought for today is, fear has its use, but cowardice has none. I'll let you guys ponder on that, as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Saturday, June the 13th, 2020. That is the update on this Saturday from Cedar Grove Beach in the New Dorp Beach section of Staten Island. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. And I'll see you right back out here tomorrow.